College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Washington State head coach Kyle Smith. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now that you're all set for your Geico needs, we are going to continue with our new coaches series as we do each and every spring at the conclusion of the college basketball season. We will have a new coach who was just recently hired, talk to them, get the lowdown on obviously what they're thinking for their new program. And we have seen obviously a busy time on the coaching carousel. Several different situations emerged, several different situations there were to track. And I think pound for pound, inch for inch, Washington State's decision to hire Kyle Smith was one of the more underrated hires of the coaching carousel. Now, you could be listening to this and saying, well, he never went to the NCAA tournament. He never was in a situation where he was really moving the needle nationally. But in my opinion, you need somebody at Washington State, just like Tony Bennett was before he became the Tony Bennett that we know today, who won a national championship, who can do more with less. Kyle Smith in his career at Columbia was 19 games over 500. He won the CIT, a postseason tournament. I know it's not the NIT or the NCAA tournament at Columbia. He won a game at Villanova when Jay Wright was the head coach, a guy who's won two national championships when he was the head coach of Columbia. And in three seasons at San Francisco, Kyle Smith's record overall was 63-40. And three straight times, he finished in the top four of the West Coast Conference. Richmond head coach Chris Moody once called Kyle Smith the smartest person in college basketball. Does he fit that bill? We'll find out next when Washington State head coach Kyle Smith joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And it was a busy offseason on the Pac-12 coaching carousel. One of the hires was Washington State plucking Kyle Smith from San Francisco, and the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Kyle, everybody says that life changes drastically when you become a Power 5 head coach in terms of your time being limited. How big has the transition been for you leading a WCC program to now a Pac-12 program?
I just think there's just the recruiting of this level is probably a little more in-depth, a little more time-consuming. Not that it wasn't at the other level. I mean, we're trying to compete. It was a weird thing. We're trying to compete with the number one team in the country and trying to navigate that through Pac-12 schools and Mountain West schools was a real challenge. But you're kind of sitting under the clouds trying to poke one out. Now we're up in the fray fighting a little bit. And, we got a lot of work to do. But we're going to do things very similar to what we did at San Francisco and even back to Columbia.
Well, and what you did at San Francisco and Columbia was obviously win a lot of games under the radar. I'm curious, how did the process come about between Kyle Smith and Washington State?
You know, had an agent, said, would you have an interest? I said, absolutely. They reached out, and it's one of those things I wasn't anticipating. I had a long-term deal with San Francisco I was really excited about and thought that, hey, this could be it for me, and that would have been great. And I just kind of bearing down. I think those opportunities present themselves when you are have your eyes on the prize, and we're just competing, trying to make that program as good as it can be. And they reached out, and I always had in the back of my mind, if I, and especially with the state of college basketball and kind of these Power Five conferences are, seems like that's, they're kind of trying to consolidate. And if I ever had a chance to get in that, that arena, I would just, it'd be hard for me to say no. I just want to try to compete at the highest level and see what we can do. And when it came around, it didn't hurt that my wife is from the area. And there's been more articles written about her 50-point game she had in the Class B state tournament than there's been about the new head coach there. So it all helped. And just the community, it's a good fit for me and my family, too. We're really excited.
Well, you know, excited is something that, you know, some people find, you know, is an interesting way to describe the opportunity at Washington State, because there's difficult travel, there's difficult fan support. We've seen that the last couple of years. But you're somebody who has always done well in places that had limited resources. Why are you so comfortable taking over jobs that are perceived as difficult?
It's going to sound crazy, but my probably what my dad did for a living. He's kind of a he was a money manager, and he found companies that were, he was kind of a short sale guy. he kind of found either what companies are bloated or some that are undervalued. Now we saw where there's like a situation where St. Mary's is 2-27. You know, San Francisco, just the history there. I saw that Columbia, New York City, Ivy League. I just saw there's potential in all these, and I know why it's been done at Washington State before. With there's, you know, Coach Bennett, obviously Tony Bennett, and I don't want to compare myself to them, but they got the thing doing it. They did it the right way too, just getting the kind of guys that they want to coach, that kind of program. And I just think that, and they're willing to let me be creative and outside the box, which I've always kind of had to be wherever then. So it was a good fit that way. Now, whether it'll work or not will be determined, but I do think it's a good place where you can build a culture, build a program. They'll get behind you. You can see the success that Mike Leach has had. And he's definitely a different thinker for sure. And I can't wait to pick his brain when I get chances like that. But I just think a lot of things line up and give me a great opportunity to see if we can do it.
Now, so as somebody who's followed your career since you became a head coach, you had a big win when you were at Columbia on the road at Villanova by double figures. You won the CIT at Columbia. Three seasons at San Francisco, you were in the top four all three times. Take me inside right now your interview with Washington State. How did you sell them on Kyle Smith leading that program out of the basement of the Pac-12?
I just think what they saw as shortcomings, I saw as positive. I mean, the remoteness. I was like, let's go. And I think anyone, if you've ever met someone that graduated from Washington State, they all share they had a great experience. I just think it's a great place where you can build culture. I think they will support you. I've dubbed it the friendliest place on earth. And it is. And it's sincere, but don't mistake their kindness for weakness. And it's a kind of place where you can bring the kind of people you want in there, and the town will really support you. I've never been in a town where there's so much Washington State gear. I haven't been to Stillwater, Oklahoma, but I assume it's similar to that. And I just think it's a great deal.
Washington State head coach Kyle Smith joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Smith, the newly minted Cougars head coach. Now, one of your great mentors and influences was Randy Bennett, the head coach of St. Mary's, somebody that has built a national program with limited resources, obviously, at St. Mary's. How much did that experience make you more comfortable in taking over Washington State at a higher level?
I think it's the same, very similar. I think there's a blueprint. Like I said, Randy and I got together and you know, there's a lot of talk about our analytics, our data attack and stuff like that. And really what kind of, we started, that's kind of how we did it there. And we started to have success, and really we tried to make it, this is our version of Moneyball for basketball, but Randy never talked about it. And then I heard Brad Stevens was doing it. And I was like, hey, wait a second. We've been doing this first. So, So we just kind of quantify everything. We try to just, whatever we're trying to emphasize, we try to get values to and try to internally do that. So we were able to do it at St. Mary's, get it up and running, got it pretty consistent, matured the program, did the same thing at Columbia. Definitely terrified if it worked there, and somehow we're able to come out on top there, and San Francisco laid it out. So it's, I think it's more in a place, like I said, a place where you can, we're not afraid to coach the guys. We're not afraid to have a program. We're not afraid to have fun. I don't think, you know, at least in our first couple of years, I don't think we'll be involved with the top 10 recruits. You know, I had a kid on campus, and he said he described his game as like John Wall. And I said, hey, that's great. I said, but you know what? I got to get you to John Wall, because if you were John Wall, John Calipari would be sitting here. So our goal is to try to get those guys developed and bought into a program, a system that's been pretty tried and true, and where some guys have been somewhat lightly recruited, like a, by comparison, like a Matthew Dellavedova or a Patty Mills, or that they're able to, I think it had a lot to do with Randy and the system, and we're obviously we have our own spin on it, but there's definitely some, you know, there's definitely a lot of their DNA in our program.
You know, you've mentioned a lot about the analytics side of things, and I know you've obviously got deep California roots. How much in, you know, obviously following the A's and seeing what Billy Beane did from a baseball side, did that influence you and obviously Randy Bennett, as you said, to kind of take that to basketball? Because like the Oakland A's, you didn't have the resources that some of these other programs had.
No, it really was just confirmed what we were doing when I read Moneyball. And I was like, I don't think Randy ever read it, just to be on the record. I think I dragged him to the movie. But and I said, this just concerned me. And like, we got a guy like Omar Samham would have been. I forgot who it was. The Greek god of walks, I think, was Kevin Euclid was the guy, Moneyball, that they're, you know, he just drew walks and figured out. We had Omar Samham, who was 320 pounds and had these chicken legs. So he did not pass the eye test, but he had long arms, grabbed every rebound, scored a lot of points, and that was kind of our guy. Like, you know, this guy produces, and like, we're at the time when you're 2-27, the local guys just think your program's mud. So you weren't gonna, you know, we had to go overseas. We had to use FIBA data. Some guys are there and trying to find their thing, but like guy like Omar Samham with it, it looked funny, but he did a lot of things we didn't, and just put him in the system, and he just kept getting better and better, and then. It's just a way to, you know, build a program, and it was really successful.
Well, now take me inside your staff meetings right now, because it's spring recruiting, and obviously there's going to be live periods coming up at the end of the week, and there are a lot of coaches at the high major level who are going to take recruiting rankings and targets, and they're going to obviously follow these guys around for 3 days. When you recruit more analytics-based, how do you determine who you're going to recruit?
It's a lot of spreadsheets, my friend. I got my director of analytics, John Andrzejczyk, who is just punching in data, and he has, and it's a year, whether it's the shoot company tournaments or the FIBA stats, and we just have certain markers that say, hey, this guy's undervalued. This is a guy we need to look. So they can come from anywhere in the globe. And right now I found myself driving from, let me tell you, don't do this, John. I drove from Denver to Casper, Wyoming last night and back. So we've hit a few spots. I'm in the middle of a home visit right now to make time for this thing, but we're all over the map. We're open to anyone that's ready for what to take on what we talk about, and really I don't know, we talk about the numbers, we really want guys with great attitudes, great work ethic, and then guys that really want to be here. That's what makes it work. You know, we've got to build a program. We're still a coach, and the analytics are just a tool, but they do give us some and that ability to find some value where others may not, like I said, outside of those top 10 recruits.
You know, Kyle, it's funny you brought up the fact that you drove from Denver to Casper, Wyoming. I remember I was at an event in Sarasota, Florida a couple years ago, and I bumped into Ernie Kent there, who was your predecessor, and he told me to get home, he had to fly from Sarasota to Atlanta, Atlanta to Seattle, and then Seattle to Pullman. How do you deal and offset the travel issues and the difficulty of getting to Pullman in the Pac-12 and kind of put yourself in a situation where you can still climb the ladder despite the obstacles that you face in recruiting?
Well, I think it's really important. I got a veteran staff, and as far as guys that play, like Derek Phelps, who's played overseas for 13 years, his college teammates, Heinrich Rödl, I think is going to be a national team coach in Germany. So we're more relationship driven, and guys that are, you know, we had really good success in Germany and Europe and at Columbia and San Francisco, and building some of those relationships that you just have to be able to go off a little bit of it. You've got to be time efficient, like in what you're doing. Then Jim Shaw, who's been in Pac-12 for 11 years, been a successful head coach. No, I don't think anyone knows the Northwest better than him. I think that's important for Washington State to be, you know, there's good basketball in the state of Washington. I think everyone knows that. And I still think a lot of kids from on the west side of the state, they grew up in the Pac-12, and you know, every time Mike Hopkins takes a guy from New York, we celebrate. That means there's one left that they didn't take in the state. And I think this state, you can see them. We had a couple at San Francisco. I think it'll be really good from Tacoma and Seattle. So we just kind of, we call it hit them where they ain't. So we're kind of veteran that way. And you've been in this game long enough. I've been doing it for 27 years. You're going to count on certain relationships that are going to, find the guy that's, and it's usually coaches. I think that certain guys have been coaching a long time, respect what we're going to do. And we're willing to give guys that other people may not give a shot.
Washington State head coach Kyle Smith joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You mentioned a couple of guys there on your staff, Jim Shaw, Derek Phelps. Any other additions to Kyle Smith's first staff here at Washington State?
Yeah, I don't. It's director of analytics / coach right now is John Anderson. So we've got some other coaching candidates that are paperwork and other stuff. I think will be rounded out. But John comes to us from Dartmouth, and he graduated from Columbia in 2.5 years, and he just is punching out numbers left and right. And he's a guy that he graduated from Columbia 2.5 years. He was also my student assistant there. And I didn't know he ever went to class. So we got some brain power in this staff. We got some incredible workers, which I think you need. You get on, and travel's difficult. And I think the biggest thing is raising money for this job for, your NetJet hours and your charter flights. No job needs it more than that. And we got to be efficient there. So because we really want to spend time with the kids in our program. I don't want to be chasing guys down in Florida. I want to be able to have guys, whether it's a transfer that wants to play at the highest level or just a high school program kid that's going to develop. And I think that's what, I just keep referencing what Tony Bennett did. And he really built with guys, but he felt to get coached, whether it was a Kyle Weaver or Taylor Rochesti, that may not have the recruitment, but they fit what they were doing, and we'll try to do the same things. And I would use this line, you can feel it down, is that when I grow up, I want to be John Beilein. Because it's another same idea. Even he's in Michigan, he's not consumed with. He gets the guys that work for him, and that's what we have to do here too.
And you mentioned Tony Bennett. There's a lot of people who believe that Tony Bennett did a better job at Washington State than he did at Virginia. I know that sounds crazy because he just won a national championship. What has the dialogue been like between you and Tony yet, if there has been any, and how much are you going to lean on him as a resource?
I will, and really. We just texted. I asked him what church he went to. And he was like, he's on his way to the Final Four, and he's like scrambling around. I said, listen, go win a national championship. But Tony's been always really good to me. And like I said, he offered me a job when he took it over. And it was $20,000 less than when I was making at St. Mary's. So I thought it was a funny offer. but just got a lot of respect for what he did. And we often were recruiting a lot of the same guys at St. Mary's because he was definitely – I'm not afraid to go off the beaten path and get the kind of guys that he felt would fit his culture, his program. I am embarrassed to even mention it. It's a true story. He stole Ty Jerome from us at Columbia. That's a true story.
So at least we know that, you can evaluate if you were on Ty Jerome at Columbia, because if you got that kid in the Ivy League, it would have been really fun to watch.
I always said he was about 5'10 when he committed. So that was ninth grade because Kobe, he was in our gym all the time. And Kobe Altman, was our assistant coach at Columbia. He was on his way to Cleveland Cavaliers. He brought Ty in the office and he said, Ty has something to share with you. And he said, yeah, coach, I want to play. I said, well, you're absolutely welcome. I'll do it. And we had two outs, or Duke and Stanford. And so when Virginia came around, and his dad is like, what are you saying? I was like, are you kidding? I'm like, what am I holding? I got a $65,000 invoice. this isn't really, I said, I couldn't think of a better guy I could play for. And they're still falling. I'm like, listen, that's Joe Harris is from the same hometown as my wife. And I know the experience. I said, look, I don't think there's a better program for what you're trying to do. And it's amazing what's happened now. Ty grew from about 5'10 to 6'5.5. So, I thought if he's 6'1", he'd be really good. But he ended up being huge and not a better person and worker, and just really good relationship to have there.
Well, I'm sure you didn't inherit a Ty Jerome on your roster in Washington State, but after a couple of weeks now, what is the first thoughts that you have on the roster you did inherit at Washington State?
you know what? I think we just went with our normal deal. We want great attitudes, great workers, guys who want to be here. And there's a strong nucleus of six that have been great. And, you know, like CJ Elvey, which I didn't know what to do. We recruited CJ at San Francisco, but he's just actually, he's a better kid than he is a person thus far. I mean, he really wants to be good. He's testing NBA stuff. And, you know, if someone gave him a promise, I'd be the first guy to support him in doing that. Obviously, would love to have a chance to coach him. And because I just think he's really about being the team. And he's just got a confidence about him that's great. And Jeff Pollard's guy that was thinking about leaving before I got hired, have him come back. And just their values are really strong. And I've got another guy, Aljaz Hunch. I don't even know if I'm saying Aljaz's name. But he's Slovenian. That's just monster worker. Somehow the Ivy League didn't catch him. He's like the fucking point. But those guys are working. And they're going to build this culture, and we can't wait to get them. We're about out of school, but we'll get them back here in the summer, and maybe get a little staff retreat or team retreat out to where my wife's from. That'd be fun.
Kyle, you know, one of the difficult things, too, when you're at a program like Washington State is getting quality games in November and December during the non-conference portion of your schedule, which is becoming more and more critical right now with the state of the Pac-12. The league hasn't had a good couple of years. I know you're in obviously a tournament in the Cayman Islands next year. Aside from that, what's on the non-conference slate for the Cougs in 1920?
You trumped me. I have no idea. I don't know, to be honest. I'm concentrating on recruiting, but I think we've got Idaho in there. We got a game I don't like at Santa Clara. But I know we're going on the Caymans. I was excited about that. I don't know. But I know that we had our conference meetings, and that's important that we do schedule the right way. And I think where we're at, we have to be strategic over the next couple of years and put Washington State and give ourselves the best chance for the league and for ourselves as we enter conference.
Well, final thing from me, I know you're still working on personnel and trying to sort things out as you transition to this job. What are the biggest things, based on what you viewed from last year and the year before at Washington State, that you need to change in year one as you take the reins here moving forward?
It's simple. We got to defend. I think there was some, you know, they could score the ball, but it's just really that's been you'll achieve what you emphasize, and we're just been talking about it, working on it. And it's not something you really usually want to work on in spring and summer, but I just think it needs to be addressed. And that's just the nuts and bolts of it. And getting some guys that are committed to doing that will be pretty good.
Well, Kyle, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Happy for your success. And look forward on staying connected along the way, man.
When you get to Pullman, Black Cypress, that's your restaurant.
I appreciate it. I'll take notes. What's the menu look like?
It's Greek Italian, very good, high end. You'll love it. So I know you and your food. Put in your thing. List of things to do.
It's on it, man. Happy hunting out there in the recruiting trail. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, John.
We'd like to thank Washington State head coach Kyle Smith for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now is going to come from Tyler McConnell. And it's, John, what are your thoughts on South Florida's ceiling for next season in 1920? To me, Tyler, I think South Florida has a chance to be a bubble team next season. Brian Gregory did a tremendous job this year at South Florida. Alexis Yetna, a burgeoning prospect. And also, you gotta like the experience they return in the backcourt. David Collins, LaQuincy Rito. South Florida could be the sleeper team out of the American National League that not a lot of people are talking about. Our next question is going to come from Tanner Bandini, and it's, John, can Houston make an Elite Eight run next year? You know, you talk to the people at Houston, and you talk to them about what they thought of their program. I'm talking about the staff and so on and so forth. They thought this past year was the bridge year, because they were losing Rob Gray. They were going to miss, obviously, a potent offensive player. I don't think the coaches at Houston, when they started this season, were expecting to have a team that won 30-plus games and played Kentucky to the wire in the Sweet 16. I look at Houston next year. I see a perimeter of Dejan Giroux, bona fide NBA prospect. I see Armani Brooks, a veteran guard on the wing, and also I see Nate Hinton. You want a name to remember for Houston, it's Caleb Mills. Got there early, was with the program as kind of a redshirt freshman last year. Wiry scorer, kind of reminds me of Quincy Doobie, who used to play for Rutgers in the early 2000s. And then our final question right now during our social media portion for the College Hoops Today podcast is going to come from Gabe Wallace, and it's, John, what are your thoughts for Illinois next season with the addition, obviously, of Kofi Cockburn? To me, Illinois was a team that was trending upward. They got the great news, obviously, last week that Ayo Dosunmu is going to come back for a sophomore season. If you're Brad Underwood right now, you've got to be thinking you need to be an NCAA tournament contender in year three, and I think when you look at the chemical makeup of that roster, that is a team that has the identity of being in the NCAA tournament hunt. Now, I'm going to obviously dive deeper into the Big Ten later in the summer when we do our conference breakdowns, but right now, if you get a player like Dosunmu back, if you have a coach like Brad Underwood that got his team playing at a high level late, I mean, that team in the second half of the season beat Michigan State, beat Maryland at Madison Square Garden. There's a lot to like right now if you're Brad Underwood. And Five Good Nuggets is sponsored by our friends at Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And now let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the eye of the storm. And I'm going to talk right now briefly about the hiring at St. John's of Mike Anderson. The most important recruits at St. John's for Mike Anderson are the players who are currently in the program. If the Red Storm have no defections, that team can win next year playing Anderson's frenetic style. Look, I was obviously covering the search very closely. I was very surprised when Mike Anderson was the choice. Hasn't recruited the Northeast. That's the negative of this job. The positive of this job is he went to an Elite Eight at Missouri. He went to the Sweet 16 at UAB. He's a proven coach, has always had teams that have won more than they lost. Is it going to be an adjustment for Mike Anderson in New York versus Fayetteville, Columbia, or Birmingham? Absolutely. But you have somebody who is a seasoned head coach. He's got to keep the players intact, though, at St. John's. Greg Williams, Mustafa Heron, LJ Figueroa, because the way those players are built, they could succeed next year and be a competitive team in the Big East. Nugget number two, Ball Durham. I'm talking about Duke. Duke got a big commitment on Friday from five-star prospect Matthew Hurd. Everything I'm hearing, Duke has emerged as the heavy favorite to land 2019 prospect Cassius Stanley. Cassius Stanley is going to announce later today. We're taping this on Monday. If that happens, I'm looking at Duke starting five next year as being Trey Jones, Cassius Stanley, Wendell Moore, Matthew Hurd, and then Vernon Carey. Four freshmen again, but obviously a stabilizer in Trey Jones at the point. Nugget number three, five big fish. Five top prospects now remaining in terms of, you know, guys who can make a difference next year in college basketball. Cole Anthony is going to announce Tuesday morning, the son of Greg Anthony. Everything I'm hearing, he's a heavy lean to North Carolina. Jaden McDaniels, a big man out of the Great Northwest. Precious Achiuwa, Trendon Watford, and Cassius Stanley, who I just told you was a heavy Duke lean. He's going to announce here in the next couple hours on Monday afternoon. This is what I can tell you from everything I'm gathering. People in college basketball circles believe that Jaden McDaniels is a strong Washington lean. People in college basketball circles now are linking Trendon Watford to Memphis, and Precious Achiuwa also linked to Memphis, but also getting a lot of interest from North Carolina. To me, I look right now at these guys, and this is what I see. Cole Anthony goes to North Carolina. He steps right in for Kobe White. If Jaden McDaniels goes to Washington and forms a front line of he and Isaiah Stewart for Mike Hopkins, all of a sudden you've got
all eyes in the Great Northwest in Seattle on UW if Washington can get those two kids and get Jalen Noel back from the NBA draft process. And as far as Achiuwa and Watford go, Penny Hardaway has already put together a team that should be top 30, top 40 entering next year with the addition of James Wiseman, with the addition, obviously, of DJ Jeffries. Freshmen do not usually directly translate in college basketball without some type of veteran support. But from a preseason buzz perspective, if Penny Hardaway can get Trendon Watford, you got a 4-5 that's going to be talent-wise as good as any in college basketball, and it will continue to add to the buzz that's around that program. Nugget number four, the power of Winston. Cassius Winston made the announcement last week that he's going to return to Michigan State for his senior season. Michigan State is going to rank number one in every preseason poll next year. In my opinion, Cassius Winston's decision to come back for a senior year, very similar to what Mateen Cleaves did in 99. He came back as a senior. They went back to the Final Four. They won a national title. If you're asking me right now, the early prediction on Michigan State's starting five for 1920, Winston at the point, Josh Langford on a wing, Kyle Arnes on a wing, Aaron Henry as your small ball four, and then Xavier Tillman at the five. Nugget number five, the new age begins in Milwaukee. A tough week last week for Steve Wojciechowski and Marquette. Sam and Joey Hauser opt to transfer. Obviously, there was some sort of dynamic there where they didn't want to play with Marcus Howard. But one thing to keep in mind for Marquette, the Golden Eagles sat out two players last season, Greg Elliott and Kobe McEwen. Kobe McEwen, a transfer from Utah State, who could both wind up starting next season. They've still got Brendan Bailey. They still got Theo John. They still got Ed Morrow. They still got Sakar Anum. They still got Marcus Howard. It will be a different Marquette team. It could be a more athletic Marquette team. But there were two guys sitting out who could be starters next year in 1920. So for the Marquette fan right now, keep that in mind. We'd like to thank Washington State head coach Kyle Smith for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.